So good to have you with us on Air Talk. Just want to remind you, Fresh Air with Terry Gross comes up at noon. And during that hour, should there be any update on the presidential election, Austin Cross will bring it to you immediately during Fresh Air here on KPECC. Right now, though, we turn our attention to Oregon and its result in the election on Tuesday. Oregon has rejected charging drug users with criminal offenses, voters passing a ballot measure that decriminalizes possession of heroin, methamphetamine, LSD, oxycodone, and other hard drugs. Joining us is Amelia Templeton, Oregon Public Broadcasting health reporter. Amelia, thanks for being with us this morning. Share with us what this measure specifically does.
Well, it essentially reduces the penalties for possession of, you know, what people often refer to as user amounts of all drugs. So Oregon is a state that was already on a path to reducing the criminal penalties for these kinds of drugs. A couple of years ago, the legislature, in an effort to reduce the prison population, knocked down charges for drug possession in a lot of cases from felonies to misdemeanors. Now, people who are found with small amounts of these drugs, for example, 40 pills of oxycodone or 1 gram of heroin, would essentially be given, you know, a ticket that would be handled in civil court, not in criminal court. So that means no possibility of jail time, and instead somebody would, in theory, pay a $100 fine, or that fine could be waived if the person agreed to do a screening, a health assessment for substance use disorder.
And so it could be waived if they go into treatment, but it sounds like if they opt not to go into treatment, they would just pay the fine?
Yeah. And I shouldn't, it's a lower bar than waived if they go into treatment. It's waived if you agree to a phone or in-person assessment of your health.
Okay.
So they're really, the goal with this legislation, I think, is to remove any element of coercion attached to treatment and to make it a voluntary choice for people.
So different than what, I don't know if you've had this in Oregon, we've had here what are called drug courts, where they use that threat of criminal prosecution to leverage the person into treatment. So sadly, that's not at all a part of this in Oregon.
It's not. And Oregon does have drug courts in many but not all of its counties. And that was one argument that opponents of the measure had sort of marshaled, you know, look, essentially people are given alternatives to jail time in many cases. And, you know, opponents suggested that without that threat of jail time, that people may not follow up on treatment. But I think, you know, there's a deep philosophical difference between the advocates who pushed for this measure and the opponents when it comes to whether or not the threat of jail time is something that gets people into treatment, or whether it's just something that further deepens the harms associated with addiction.
We're talking with Amelia Templeton, health reporter at Oregon Public Broadcasting. What about the federal government? Has the DEA at all weighed in on what Oregon's done?
Not that I'm aware of. These are all drugs that will remain illegal at the federal level. And Oregon has not gone so far as to, you know, fully legalize any of them at the state level either. So criminal drug offenses will remain felonies under the law in Oregon. That means if people are found with a significantly larger amount of drugs and evidence of more serious drug dealing or trafficking, you know, things like having packaging materials or being found with stolen property or guns, people could still face felony charges under state law for those types of offenses. And, you know, what we've seen with marijuana was the federal government laying out some sort of clear priorities, not wanting to see, you know, marijuana from states that have legalized it moving into states that have not, that kind of thing, but otherwise kind of leaving it primarily up to the states.
We'll continue our conversation on Oregon's measure, which decriminalizes a number of hard drugs. We'll take your calls with your questions about the new law at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. We have second guest joining us from Oregon Public Broadcasting as well. We'll be back in just 1 minute on Air Talk. Remind you that we have updated election results at VoterGamePlan.com, up to the minute election returns. And of course, as any additional substantive returns in the presidential race come in, we'll bring those to you live right here on KPCC. Fresh Air with Terry Gross comes up next. Terry's guest today, Jack Goldsmith, co-author of After Trump, Reconstructing the Presidency. That's Fresh Air in just 8 minutes on KPCC. We're talking about Oregon's Measure 110, which has passed by a wide margin. The latest count I saw was 59% of Oregonians voting in favor of the measure, which decriminalizes a number of so-called hard drugs instead makes it a civil offense instead of a criminal one for people to be in possession of personal use amounts of those drugs. Also joining us on Air Talk, a reporter and producer for Oregon Public Broadcasting who's been closely following the story, Christian Foden-Wenzel. Christian, thank you very much for being with us. I wanted to talk specifically about psychoactive mushrooms. How are they handled in this?
Yeah, you know, we have a different measure, completely different measure from this, but we're looking at psilocybin, the hallucinogenic ingredient of magic mushrooms. And what Oregon voters have decided to do is create this whole new system of psilocybin-assisted therapy. So it's meant to deal with everything from depression to anxiety to addiction to PTSD. And over the next couple of years, they're going to set this system up. So it's not like cannabis. So, you know, you're not going to be able to go to a store and buy some, take it home and use it. What you're going to do is it's like going into therapy. First, you'll have a meeting and they'll discuss why you want to go into therapy. So are you dealing with, you know, smoking, or are you dealing with depression, or do you just want to like take it for a trip and for, you know, spiritual reasons? And if you get through that, you won't get through if you've got some deep medical problem, they'll screen you out. So, but if you get through that, then you go for the next day into a licensed state clinic where you will lay down, put headphones on, blindfold on, and there'll be somebody there who sits with you over the next 6 hours as you take that, psilocybin, the drug, and you go on your trip, right? And then the next day, a third part of it is you meet with a therapist to discuss how your trip went and, you know, how you're going to, the revelations that came to you, how are you going to implement them to give up smoking or whatever it is you're fighting with. So it's kind of fascinating, really.
Yeah. Now, is this part of formal research or just an effort to allow clinical introduction of psilocybin for those who feel there'd be value for them?
Yeah, I think it's the second one. I mean, Kevin Sabat, who was the drug czar for, you know, Clinton and Bush and Obama, he said you can't do this by vote. You shouldn't be voting on, you know, medical things by popular opinion. You should be doing it by science. So he came out against it, and others came out against it, the Oregon Psychologists Association. But I think there's a lot of people who feel that this has some promise. And there has been a lot of science out of places like Johns Hopkins and Oxford University over in England to say that, you know, back in the 70s, we did some research, we kind of overdid it. Psilocybin got caught up in the pop culture of the time. But there's a lot of promise there that really never came to fruition. So now let's do it.
So what was the argument for not including psychedelic mushrooms in the decriminalization of other drugs in 110?
We have to think of it as it's a separate issue. You can still, I mean, psilocybin comes the same as heroin or whatever, crack cocaine, whatever you've got in your car. If it's a small amount, then you go through that process. This is a completely different measure that kind of sets up this whole medical attack on it.
So it is decriminalized then under 110?
No. Under 110 it is, but under the one I'm doing, 109, it's not decriminalized. It is, you're not allowed to, like I say, go to a shop and buy some. You will have to take it within this medical system that's going to be set up by the Oregon Health Authority.
We're talking with Oregon Public Broadcasting reporter Christian Foden-Wenzel, also with us Amelia Templeton of Oregon Public Broadcasting, where she covers health. If you have questions for our guests, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Our listener JSK asks, what if the screening determines that you were not an abuser or an addict? Amelia, then, you know, what happens in that process for those who are found to have personal use amounts of the drugs?
So, you know, after a person has completed the health screening, they are essentially, there is no further involvement with the civil justice system. You know, that fine is, the $100 fine is waived. I think that person essentially, you know, continues with their life.
And if you are stopped multiple times for possession, do you have this opportunity for the screening on multiple occasions?
You do, yes. And, you know, that's an interesting point of how the initiative was written. One thing I would caution, you know, people have to remember this is making law through the citizen initiative process, where, you know, a big complicated issue is put to a public vote. And what we got here, I think, pretty clearly, just based on the percentage that this passed by, was Oregonians saying, you know, they believe people should not face criminal penalties for possessing small amounts of drugs. But what is very likely to happen is the legislature will look at this big sweeping change that voters have approved and then I think make their own changes through the legislative process. So, you know, we've already had indications that I think there's going to be a big lobbying fight over how exactly this gets implemented. And, you know, opponents of the measure have raised a number of issues that they would like to see changed by through legislation. One, what happens if somebody who is a juvenile is found with a user amount of drugs on their person? So, you know,
yeah,
there is no difference between being stopped the first time or the second time, but that's something that potentially state legislators might look at.
Amelia Templeton, thank you so much. Christian Foden-Wenzel joining us both from Oregon Public Broadcasting. From all of us at AirTalk, have a terrific afternoon.